Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 35, and I'll reference the Gospel standing. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, "What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days?" What things, he asked them. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and that crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, "How foolish and slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?" That very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses at the end of chapter 23 and the beginning of chapter 24, how Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, who was a righteous man and had not agreed with the Sanhedrin in their condemnation of Jesus, went and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, but Jesus was now dead. In grief, he went to honor his former teacher in his death. He took him, wrapped him in linen cloths, and laid him in a tomb. An interesting thing, if we look at our manger scene right here, there's baby Jesus, wrapped in linen cloths and laid in a manger. 30-something years later, he was wrapped in linen cloths and laid in a tomb. His mission beginning in our nativity scene and ending in a tomb where the stone was rolled away and the linen remained. But he was gone. He is alive. There's a movie I saw recently, and I like how it ended. It's about the first Christmas. In fact, that's what it's called. It's narrated by Kevin Costner. Now, I'm not getting any gratuity for plugging the movie. It's just very accurate in how it does it. But the way it ends is the stone being rolled away off in the distance from the manger scene. Jesus came for the purpose of dying for our sins so that we can be forgiven. But Joseph is mourning right now, not Joseph, the one in our nativity scene, but Joseph of Arimathea, a religious leader who was a disciple of Jesus, and he did all he could to honor in his grief the fallen teacher. He put him in a tomb. And then in the morning, Sunday morning, that's why we worship on Sunday. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the day when it was revealed that the tomb was empty. The women came first. The guys are still hiding in a room, afraid that they're going to be next to be executed. And the women come, and they're bringing spices. They too are mourning, but they're going to honor their teacher. And they come, and the stone's been rolled away. And there are two angels that appear to him. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Don't you remember that he told you this is what was going to happen? He was going to be betrayed, crucified, and then rise the third day? And it said they remembered. And as I said, Wednesday is sort of like the illustration that sometimes Lana will tell me something, and I'll forget it. And then she'll remind me, oh yeah. Well, the women were that way in this situation. They had forgotten what Jesus had told them. They had maybe thought that it was one of his parables. But now they understood the voice of the angels. He is alive. And they ran back and told the disciples, the 11. But they thought the women were crazy. Peter, he runs and looks in the tomb. He had to go in. And he sees the cloth laying over here and the one over Jesus' face over another side. And he leaves astonished. Wow, something's different. But he still doesn't believe. He still doubted. Joseph was one proceeding in grief. It's all over. Our hope is gone. Peter says something's different. I don't know what. And then, as they go back, we come to our passage today. It says, now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus. Now here is the same day that Peter's gone to the tomb and saw it's empty, that the women have come and reported that the angels told them Jesus is alive. But two of them are walking back to Emmaus. I've titled this message, Walking with Jesus Unaware. Because all of us right now, everyone in this world, on this planet that's ever lived, has walked in the creation of God, of Jesus. And some are unaware that they're in the midst of God's creation. Everything that is, Jesus made. You look outside, the grass, the trees, the warm weather, it's not supposed to be here in December, but it's here. The oxygen to breathe is all made by God. And his presence surrounds us. But a lot of people, on their own, blind themselves to the truth. The same day, the women told the truth, expressed the message. These two men are walking back to Emmaus, about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And they were discussing the truth, discussing the events of that weekend, the crucifixion of Jesus, the message that the women had brought, the message that Peter said. It's just like the women said, that there was no one there. And they were arguing about the truth. Now, we don't have recorded their argument. It could have been one saying, but could this be true? And the other said, no, that couldn't. But wondering what these events meant. And as they're discussing and arguing about the truth walks up right beside them. Sometimes we're faced with the truth, and sometimes we're not aware we're faced with the truth. There are a lot of people that see the truth of God's creative majesty and ignore it. If you ever go up to the Answers in Genesis Creation Museum, there's an exhibit. It's got two archaeologists, and they're uncovering the bones of dinosaurs. One archaeologist, who is not a Christian, says, ah, proof of evolution. The Christian archaeologist says, ah, proof of a worldwide flood. Where would the evidence be if there was a global flood? There's a song by a guy named Buddy Davis says, and I'm not going to sing it for you, because as somebody said, I was cut out to be a singer, I just wasn't sewn up right. So, and what would the evidence be? There'd be billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down all over the earth. And what do we look and see when we look? We find all over the earth billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water. The evidence is there. It's interesting. There's a government program called SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And if you look at all the things necessary for life to exist on a planet, there's not enough planets in the universe to beat the odds of having a planet from life like we have. We are a unique creation of God. There's the truth, but some people don't want to accept the truth. We need to understand the truth. We need to not ignore it, but listen to the truth. Jesus pretended like he was unaware of the events because he wanted to bring out the truth within these people walking to Emmaus. And so he questioned the two about what happened. And they stop, and they're discouraged. Their hopes are dashed like Joseph of Arimathea. Our hope is gone. What events? And they say, are you the only one that hasn't heard? And that reminds us that everyone in Jerusalem and Israel knew about these events. Are you the only one? It's obvious this has been headline news, the big news of everywhere in Jerusalem. You didn't know. You know about what? Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. He was powerful in action and speech before God. In other words, he spoke the truth and showed the power of God. But notice they call him a prophet. not the Messiah. Because they said, we had hoped he would be the Messiah, but their hopes have been dashed because he's crucified and laid in the tomb. They had hoped he was the one that was going to come and redeem Israel, to save Israel. But now, in their minds, all hope is gone because he's dead. And Jesus then begins uncovering the truth. Now, I'm not going to read all these scriptures. We've got 121 scriptures from the Old Testament that point to the Messiah and everything that happened. I've got a few copies back in the foyer if you want one. But starting in Genesis, going through the Old Testament. And these are, I'm sure, not all of the scriptures referring to the Messiah and what must happen. But Jesus began in Genesis. And in Genesis 3, it starts by telling us the seed of the woman will be the one that strikes Satan's heel. And if you understand biology, the seed is not in the woman, it's in the man, and it's talking about a virgin birth, which we see depicted in our nativity. It's also the beginning point of God's plan to bring salvation to the world. What do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from the consequences of our sin. Up the road in Huntsville, we have a place where they execute prisoners. There's a phone that is in the execution area because the governor or the president can come call and stay that execution, stop that execution, and they wait for that call, because they know if that call doesn't come through, that person's going to be executed. Well, we are all guilty of sinning before God. In Galatians 3:24, it says, the law is a little charge that leads to Christ, and we might be justified by faith. It is impossible for us to keep God's law. The Ten Commandments just show us it's impossible. Honor God above all. Take one day out of seven to worship God and rest. Don't make an idol. Don't covet. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal. We are guilty of breaking them all. You might say, I've never killed anybody, but Jesus says, if you're angry at your heart, it's the same as murder. The law is to show us we are guilty, and we need help. Jesus came to save us from the consequences of our sin. What we are, he lived a perfect life and died as a sacrifice so that we can be freed from the consequences of God. And Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, explained to these men the truth. This is God's plan all along. It wasn't a mistake. It was part of God's plan. God fulfilled his plan for him. And notice also, Jesus said to them in verse 26, wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Wasn't it necessary? These happened before he entered into his glory? His plan needed to be completed. And then he acted like he's going to keep going along the road. But they invited him in. and he broke bread, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized the truth for who he was, and then he disappeared from their presence. Now, even though it was evening now, they rushed back the 7 miles back to Jerusalem and came to the room where the 11 were. The 11 that didn't believe, the women that didn't believe, what Peter said. But Peter, even though his first message was, it's just like the women said, but I didn't see anybody. During that time they were on the road to Emmaus, Peter, also known as Simon, meets Jesus. And Simon has told him, I've seen Jesus alive. The two men are saying, I've seen Jesus alive. The women have given the message, but still, people are not believing. Sometimes we are very slow to foolish, like Jesus describes the people on the road to Emmaus. We're slow to accept the truth. We're slow to recognize that we are foolish if we reject the truth. Right around April 1st, we celebrate National Atheist Day. We'll put up on the marquee the scripture that tells us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're foolish if you think there's no God. Everyone knows there's a God. Our next study is going to be in the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, God willing. If not, if he comes to take us home before then, then you'll understand the truth. But in the first chapter of Romans, it says people suppress the truth by their wickedness. The world wants you to reject the truth and accept the lies. That's just what it is. The world is trying to tell you there's no God. That's a lie. Some people say, if you're disagreeing with a fact, would you bet your life on it? If you reject the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you're betting your eternal life. Everyone's going to live forever. Either going to be in heaven or in hell. And it all depends not on your works, but on the completed work of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he was born in a manger. He told Pilate, I was born for this. When Pilate asked him if he was a king. He said, I'm your king, but not as you understand the king. I was born for this purpose. Pilate tells him, don't you know I have the power to set you free or kill you? He said, you wouldn't have that power unless God gave it to you. God's still in charge. God fulfilled his plan. He offers us forgiveness. Now, the podium here is shaped like a cross, but it's empty because Jesus is alive. And he desires to spend eternity with us. And he has done everything necessary for that to be accomplished. But we have to believe the truth. Right now, we end our passage. 10 of the 11, Peter already believes, but 10 of the 11 don't believe. Even though Peter's told them, the people Cleopas and the other on the road to Emmaus, but when they told them, they still didn't believe. But Jesus wants them to believe. You can read and finish the chapter if you want. But that's the way our message comes. Where Jesus continues his message. It tells us that God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some of us are slow. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why doesn't God punish wrongdoers immediately? Because he wants to give them a chance to repent. Why doesn't God punish us immediately when there's wrongdoing in our lives? Because he wants to give us a chance to repent. How many chances will each of us give? Yeah. We don't know. It's up to God. But there's a limit. Don't presume God's patience and keep saying no. Are you going to accept the truth? Are you going to reject it? I'll be available at the end of service if you have any questions. Let's stand for our closing prayer. Now let's remember, this week we celebrate Christmas. Let's remember to tell people not only the birth of Jesus, but why he was born for the greatest gift, forgiveness of our sins. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for desiring that we all acknowledge the truth and then let us share it with others. In Jesus' name. If you want to listen to the scriptures,